you're outnumbered today. It is good to hear your voices over his. I just think
that's what Lisa says all the time.
Welcome to the Harbor of Joy. Glad that you are here this morning. I know we got some friends from all over the tarnation. San Diego is one. I won't say anything to embarrass you. We got Inwood, Iowa. We got Larchwood, Iowa. And it's probably because the lakes attract people to come. Oh, we got Brandon over here. Oh, and we got. Are you names?
Anthony.
Oh, Anthony. Close to
Ames. Well, Nebraska. There's people here from Nebraska.
That's right, from Nebraska. There's people here too. Wow. And from Sioux City, I see Steve is here as well. So, wow. Lots of different people. Glad that you're here this morning.
I think they're also from Terrell.
From Terrell. Yeah. That's probably the greater Spencer area. And Sioux Falls. Wonderful, wonderful. Glad that you were here today. Just, where?
Wisconsin.
Oh, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Who else did I miss?
Waterloo.
So in other words, there's a lot of people here that normally aren't here. That's what it comes down to. Good to have everybody here. Good to see you as well. Just want to let you know that we've been praying for Madeline here for a number of months. And Madeline's 2 years old. She's a great-granddaughter of Norma Lubinius here. And her funeral is on Friday. Just to kind of let you know that. There's something in the bulletin there if you want to send a card or say something to the family. That address is in the bulletin. And then also, we've been praying for Terry.
Missing.
Yeah. And Terry died on Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And that's, Terry is the son-in-law to Orville and Bonnie Belkin. So I just kind of make a connection there with that. We don't know when the service will be, but it'll be in Spencer. She asked if I would do the funeral. I did see him on Thursday because he was on hospice. He looked a lot younger than what he was. But he's still younger than me. I always told people, I said, I think he's like 58. But I found out last night that he was 3 years older than my wife. 65. Oh, now she's
3 days.
Oh, 3 days. Did I say 3 years? Okay. I was trying to suspect you, honey. I don't want to know what your age was. All right. My wife was 65 in November. I was 65 in November. Anyway. Now I'll have to do some fast talking on the way home. You want to go for dinner? Anyway, well, some of you have experienced losses in your lives. Some recently, some of you are still going through your firsts of after a loved one that has died, taken out of your life too. So we're mindful of that, especially thinking of Memorial Day weekend. You know, it's we think of military people, those that offered and laid down their lives, gave up their lives in the ultimate sacrifice for our country, the freedoms we have. But then there's also a lot of losses. That I know many of you go out to the gravesides, cemeteries, you put flowers on those graves. If it's your grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, whatever, family members that are there. And a lot of reminiscing that takes place this weekend and tomorrow as well. So our hearts go out to you. Just want to remind you that this week, and not a whole lot is happening here at the church as summer gets here. But we do have the ladies that meet for prayer group at 9:30, and it's open to anyone, not just ladies. Wednesday, Amy Johnson has planned a youth kind of joy kids get together from Wednesday from 9 o'clock in the morning to 11 a.m. And a lot of that in talking with Amy is that she wants the kids to see there's a different side to her than what they see during the school year. That she can be a fun person. So she just wants to interact with those kids and let them see another side of her. And I don't know what the plan is for them, but you'll have to come. If you want to help her out with that and see what's going on, that's this Wednesday from 9 in the morning till 11 a.m. There's other announcements that you see in your bulletin as well. Just want to also remind you that next Sunday there is a thank you given to Charlie Hurdle for her talent.
Whichever way. It's full German, so go with it.
After the communion next Sunday, there will be a fellowship time following that. Card or wish her well or thank her for what she's done over the 12 and a half years as our church secretary. You have that time next Sunday to be able to do that. And so there's other things in their bulletin. Please read them, some for the widows, something for the LCMC annual convention that's happening in October. And it's called LCMC 3.0, which means pretty serious time. We can watch that on live streaming and here as well, and maybe that's what we'll do because Missouri is a long ways to go. St. Charles, you know where that's at, Benny? You do, yeah. I thought it was just outside the gate to Fort Leonard Wood, but it's not. That's where I had basic training anyway. Never wanted to go back to Missouri since. Well, let us pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for everyone that is here this morning, those that have come through the doors, those that have that need to come and to draw close to Jesus here this morning. And Lord, there are heavy hearts here today for various reasons, and we just especially pray for the families. I've gone through some very recent losses in life. May you be with them somewhere in the planning stages of a funeral even. Funeral just got over with here this last Friday. And so, Lord, it's a part of life that happens. We oftentimes think that we will live to be very old, and that doesn't always happen. And things take place in our lives that we're not even aware of. But God, you know everything. You know that our days are numbered. And we have to trust you and walk this life in the days that you give to us. So let us choose and serve you wisely these days. And Lord, there's many people who don't know you as their Savior. And use us. Use us to reach people that are outside of your kingdom. And probably don't even know that there is another kingdom. Because not everyone goes to heaven. Only those who believe in Jesus. And I know that's a hard thing, it's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. But we find that in your word, that Jesus makes that big of a difference in our lives. And he always said, you know, believe in me and you'll have eternal life. And there's no other way in which we could have that hope if it wouldn't be for Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I don't know the hearts that are here today, but you do. And we just pray that today could be that wonderful day that someone here would say, no, all these years I've lived, I've never even considered Jesus in my life. Or maybe I have. Maybe I've gone to church all the time and never personally invited him into my life. And that I'm living for him rather than for myself. And so there's a lot of different things that can happen in one's life when Jesus becomes the center in our hearts. And so we pray for that to happen here today, Lord, because that's why we're here. And we know that eternity is before us, and we never know when that may happen. So thank you for everyone that is here. Thank you for the praise band that is here as well in its full, in its fullness. No one's missing. And we just put into your hands this service today and all that goes along with it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat, or you were dismissed from up front. I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand as we hear from God's Word this morning. Do you know what day this is in the church calendar?
Sunday.
I think I heard it.
Pentecost.
That's Pentecost. Today is Pentecost. And you know what that means? Hold on, I'll tell you. Amen. Let's hear what God's Word says here to us. It comes from John, Gospel of John, verses 37 through 44. On the last day and greatest day of the feast. It's very important you know that. This happens on the greatest day of what feast? I'll tell you about that. Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said," another very important part there, scripture says what he is saying here before, "streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his word, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Christ." Still others asked, "How can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived?" Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are faced with your words here today that were given to us for a purpose and for a reason. May we not miss what that purpose and that reason is today as we hear and we look through the eyes of faith to Jesus Christ. So Lord, open hearts, open ears. May your word come and set us free. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've started using the pulpit because I didn't realize that you guys can see me when I'm up here. When I'm down there, which I like to be down there close to you, some are saying that we don't always get to see you. And so they got to look around other people's heads or something like that. So they appreciate, I've heard anyway, some have appreciated that I used the pulpit, and I didn't realize it. So thanks for those of you that expressed that even to me. I didn't know that it was that big of a deal. But apparently it is. And in case you're wondering, that candle on the altar is lit. Okay? It's just that it's really tiny, but it is lit. So don't be thinking like, "How come that one candle's not lit?" It is. So now we got that taken care of. Now you can focus on God's word. 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what happened? Pentecost. Penti in Pentecost means 50. Penta is 5. Penti is 50. Jesus rose, he ascended into heaven. How many days after?
40,
yeah. So the disciples had to wait 10 more days before Jesus' promise of sending them the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. They had to wait 10 more days before that happened. And so we have a text here today. This is prior to Pentecost, but it mentions that it's coming. It's coming. Just like we know that Jesus is coming again as well. We don't know when, but he is coming because he said, as you see me go up, those guys that were there with the disciples said, you know, as you see him go up in the clouds, that's the same way he's going to come back. He will return. We just don't know when. But are you ready when he does? Are you going to raise your arms and say hallelujah? But I know most of your Lutherans wouldn't do that. So you'd probably go like, oh, here he comes. That's really good. If you come from a Norwegian background, you'd probably go, yeah. That's all you'll say. But that's all right. I knew of a guy that was a lot older than me at the time, and he would say that a lot. I'm going like, are you okay? He just goes, yeah, I'm fine. I just agree with what the preacher said. All right. Back to the sermon. Our text today happens before Acts 2. That's when Pentecost takes place. Acts 2. You want to read more about all that went on that day? You have to read Acts chapter 2. But it says here that Jesus, he stood up and he says in a loud voice on this greatest day of the feast. The feast is called the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is very close to the Passover. Jesus died on the Passover. And then what follows is the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a seven-day feast. And so the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, everyone gets really excited about what takes place on this day. It is blown out by horns from the Temple Mount to the Jews of saying, the Sabbath is over with, now it's time to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles goes way back to the time of Moses when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They lived in little booths. They lived in little shacks, little huts that they got out of wood and made. But, you know, they had the Shekinah glory. They had in the daytime, it was a cloud that they followed. When the cloud moved, the people would move. That was God's presence to them. God was showing himself to them. At night, if God wanted them to move, he'd be a pillar of fire. And so if the pillar of fire moved, then the people would move wherever that pillar of fire went. And of course, the fire would light the way during the nighttime for them to do that. And so they've celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles ever since then. Once a year, they would live in little tents, little huts. They live on top of their houses. They live on the streets. They live in the temple square. They would live in their gardens. Wherever they could find a place, they lived there for 7 days. No cell phones, no radio, no TV. They spent together as a family. They read scriptures. They prayed. They contemplated about their lives. They thought about the Lord. What would that be like today? Interesting thought. Did you catch that? All right. Pentecost has not come yet. The Holy Spirit has not come into God's people prior to Pentecost. What makes Pentecost so great is this. It is from that time on that the Holy Spirit indwelt every believer from that time on till today. If Jesus is living in your heart, if you're believing and trusting in him, the Holy Spirit has come and lived in you. He's living in you right now. And you cannot live a Christian life without him. It's the Holy Spirit who allows you and gives you the power to live for the Lord. It doesn't happen any other way. The Holy Spirit is like the song we sang. It sets our soul on fire. It's a good thing. So Some of you here probably go like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And yet some of you here going like, yeah. Amen, brother. Preach it again. Say it again. Well, there's always a reaction to people, to Jesus. We find that here is another place that when Jesus stood up on this great day of the Feast of the Tabernacles and he makes this statement, if anyone is thirsty, notice he says, if anyone, doesn't matter what gender you are, anyone, young, old, in between, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And Jesus is talking about himself. Come to me. How many times has he said that to his followers and to other people in his ministry? Come on to me, all you who are weary and weak, and I will give what you need. Whoever believes in me, Jesus is speaking, he says, as the scripture has said. So he's not saying anything new. He's talking about what the prophets of old have already said. He's just the one who is able to say this about himself because the prophets of old are talking about him. And he says, streams of living water will flow from within him. And I'll add, or her. When we come to believe and trust in Jesus, that living water will flow in you. A lot of times when we talk about lakes around here, you know, how often do we hear, well, this one is spring fed. Where's the spring? Well, we don't know. But the lake has always been here. Because it's fed good water continuously, and no one really knows where the spring is, where it comes from. Jesus is talking about his spirit that will come and live in the believer, in us, when we believe in him. Do you believe in him? Or are you just going through the motions? On Sunday, not everybody goes to church. Why did you come to church? Well, there could be a lot of answers to that. But why are you here today? Did you really come to wanting to hear what God's word says to you? Or are you just going to go through the routine and go through the motions? I hope not. The reaction of the people who heard Jesus say this, there are some who are spot on. He is a prophet. I should also say he's a savior. There's people today who believe Jesus is a prophet, but they don't believe that he's the Messiah. But the second one said he is the Christ. Christ means Messiah in the Hebrew. Well, Christ in the Greek, that's where Christ comes from. It means the same as the Messiah in the Hebrew. And then we have some who say he can't be the Christ. He's from Galilee. Others said, well, the scripture says that Christ has to come from David's family and from Bethlehem, where David lived. Well, it's kind of like, duh. Don't you know he was born in Bethlehem? We celebrate that every Christmas, don't we? And there are some people who are divided because of Jesus. Just like there are people today divided because they go like, who are these wackos? Sometimes we're called right-wingers. I don't know where that comes from. But why pick on Christians when we do nothing that hurts people? At least we try not. So why do the Christians get a bad rap, even in today's media? They want to find out, well, did they go to church? What church was it? A lot of times it's if it's a Catholic church, well, then they're numbered. But maybe he hates the Catholic church. Then they hate anything evangelical. They come from an evangelical church, or they come from a Pentecostal church, you know. I don't know how it goes, but it goes like, I really believe that we're the backbone of this nation. And yet, we're looked upon as the enemy. I don't get it. But Jesus said that's the way it's going to happen. That's the way it's going to be before he comes again. So, get used to it. It's going to get worse before it gets better. There are some who even hated Jesus so much they wanted to seize him. They wanted to bind him and take him away someplace, but it says here that no one touched him. There's always a reaction to Jesus Christ, no matter where he goes. And it can be that way even today in Milford, Iowa, the Harbor of Joy. Here this morning, reacting to who Jesus is in your life. Where do you have him? Is he in your life, or is he just kind of, you hold him off at an arm's distance, say like, well, I like him and everything, but I just don't want to get him too close to me. And I don't like people who are really close to Jesus because they make me feel uncomfortable. Have you ever said that or felt that way? I have. The Roman historian known as Josephus, he said that there was a change in the name of the festival. It was known as the Feast of Tabernacles. Josephus lived around the time of Jesus, first century, before the first century. And he said that there was a new ceremony that was called the Festival of the Drawing of Water. That was the new name given to the Feast of Tabernacles in Jesus' day. Now the Jews would probably still call it's the Feast of Tabernacles. Josephus was not a Christian. He was, like I said, a Roman historian. And he said that there was a new ceremony called the Festival of the Drawing of Water. And we start thinking about, okay, so what Jesus says here makes a lot more sense. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That's what Jesus said in a loud voice. A gold pitcher would be filled from the pool of Siloam. The pool of Siloam is on the bottom of the, kind of like the hill. The Temple Mount is way up here. The pool of Siloam is down here. It's kind of where Hezekiah's the water they tunneled in to get some water because they were surrounded by enemies once upon a time there in Jerusalem. And so Hezekiah ordered a tunnel to be built where they found running water. That water empties into the pool of Siloam. And there's been many miracles that have happened to people in that pool of Siloam. But on this particular day is when they would take a gold pitcher, fill it with water from the pool of Siloam. Someone would take that pitcher. It's a long walk up to where the Temple Mount is. They would give it to a priest. And the priest then would pour the water from the pool of Siloam in a basin on the altar of the temple. Stood. And then at night, the streets and the temple courts were illuminated with torches. A little bit of 4th of July coming here. There were torches that were carried by singing and dancing pilgrims in Jerusalem throughout the night. This was the greatest time of the feast. So that's kind of what went on. It has something to do with a pitcher made out of pure gold, filled with water from the pool of Siloam, taken up to the Temple Mount, given to a priest. The people knew this. To us, it's foreign. And so when this took place and when Jesus made this statement, people would all go like, Shazam. This is really something. So it's an old promise of Scripture that is given here. I didn't know this until studying for this sermon, that Isaiah, it's amazing what Isaiah says here that goes along with what Jesus says here. We find that a minor prophet by the name of Joel, he's one that's quoted in Acts chapter 2, that's saying that this is going to happen, and sure enough, it happens on the day of Pentecost. But Isaiah says this, in Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 3, it says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Did you catch that? "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." It's inside you. Because the Holy Spirit is working in you. He lives in you as you believe and trust in Him. Him is Jesus. Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4. "For I will pour out my spirit on your offspring." He's talking to people. Offspring, that's people. Humans. "I will pour out my spirit in people and my blessings on your descendants." Descendants, again, is people. Relatives. "They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams." My dad had planted one poplar tree in one of his many shelter bells. And we loved that tree. We'd go down to that tree. My brother would climb up there and he would carve his initials in there, and we'd go up there years later and see his initials in there. But it's only that one tree because we had sheep. The sheep would keep everything on the ground clipped. When we got rid of the sheep, guess what happened? Little poplar trees started coming out all over the place. They grow like crazy. To a point where you couldn't even get close to that one tree with the amount of poplar trees that started growing once we got rid of the sheep. Isaiah 58:11 says, "The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." Isaiah the prophet, talking about salvation as it comes into a person's life. It becomes a part of you. It's like a spring in a lake. Always feeds it, gives to you what you need, whatever it may be along the way, because God knows what we need throughout life. Have you heard about the Samaritan woman who's at the well? That's in John 2. Actually, John chapter 4. And how Jesus said to her, a Samaritan woman, when she went the hottest day of the day at noon to get water, and Jesus told her, "Whoever drinks the water that I will give to him or her will never thirst." And she thought that was the best news she's ever heard. She'd love to be able to have living water and not have to go out to get it in the heat of the day. And Jesus says to her, "Indeed, the water I give will become like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That's John 4:14. So this is all said before Pentecost happens. And Pentecost is when God's Spirit lives inside every believer from that time on to today. If I had a chance, I would have a big balloon. I would hold it up and I would say, isn't this a pretty balloon? And everybody would go like, yeah, yeah, it's really nice. But then I would blow in it. The air that is put in that balloon, does it change what that balloon can do? And you go like, yeah. Because if I just let go of it, I have no idea where it's going to go. But so it is with us. We have no idea where we're going to go when we come to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. But he will send us. But he will also go with us along the way. So without the air, a balloon is really nothing. Look at the clothes you are wearing today. Clothes are clothes. But it makes a difference when you are in those clothes. You bring that shirt, that skirt, that whatever you're wearing, you bring it to life because you are in it. And so the Holy Spirit does the same thing when he comes and lives in you. You're not the same person. He changes you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you saw the need of a Holy Spirit to come and live inside every believer. It's been going on for centuries, for over close to 2,000 years. And Lord, sometimes it's hard for us to understand, especially when we first believe, what that really means, how that really affects our lives. But as we continue to grow and trust in you and go through some of the hard knocks that happen in this life, we come to trust you in ways that we never used to trust you before. Sometimes, Lord, you take things away, but you always replace what you take away with something better. So, Lord, today, is there anyone here that needs to have the indwelling, the infilling of your Holy Spirit? Because you said that it'll happen. As we trust in you. It's for everyone who will come and believe and come by faith and to trust you. It will make lives better. There will be people who will not want to be your friends anymore because they'll say you are different. Whatever that may mean. But they'll tell you why you're different. But Jesus, you do make a difference. You make a difference in marriages. You make differences in family homes. And it's always for the good. So let us pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand and receive.
God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended into heaven. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. Now, did you really mean what you just said? Did you really mean what you just said? Or did you just say it because everybody else was saying it? The Apostles' Creed came about because there was false teaching going on in the early church. And they go like, what does one have to believe to be a real Christian? And that's where the Apostles' Creed comes in. There are some who said that only the Father, there's only one God, the Father, and there's not a Son, and there's not a Spirit. The Apostles' Creed says it's a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's a lot more that goes into that, but that's where it comes from. And if you ask today, different world religions, different cults, big difference will always be the Trinity. If you want to get into a good fight, bring that up. But keep in mind, you'll never find the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible. The word Trinity is not there. But you do see God as a Father, you do see God as a Spirit, you do see God sending us His one and only Son. It's a triune God. Yet one God. And if we understood what that really meant, well, then you'd be God. There's just things we don't understand. You have to believe by faith. So I just say this as a benediction today to you. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved. Not my words. God's words. Acts 2, verse 21. Amen.
On May 12th, 1861, soon after the Civil War had begun, the strains of John Brown's body were heard for the first time at Fort Warren near Boston, adapted by C.S. Hall from a three-year-old Methodist hymn, "Say, Brothers, Will You Meet Us?" The words to the new version referred not to the Harper's Ferry Raider, but to a Sergeant John Brown, then stationed at the fort. The song became so popular among Northern soldiers that opposition developed to due to so common a lyric being affixed is to be exalting a melody. And in 1862, Julia Ward Howe was persuaded to write the inspirational song's words we know as the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It is recorded that this hymn was sung at a large patriotic rally attended by President Lincoln. After the singer had finished, the audience responded with tumultuous applause. The president, with tears in his eyes, cried out, "Sing it again!" And it was sung again. It soon became accepted as one of our finest national hymns, finding its way into almost every American hymnal. Its original purpose serving as a battle song for the Northern Republic during the Civil War was soon forgotten. Please stand.